Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. Of course, it is the birth of Jesus. Let us hear the words afresh and anew this night. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured all these things, these words, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you are at all like me, more than anything tonight, you just need to hear this story once again. It's a story of love that claims us by name and a love that will not ever let us go. And I suppose we always need it, but every time we come to it, it seems there are new circumstances that make us aware of why we so desperately need this story in the first place. It is a love story, where God and a young teenage mother gave the world a baby. Not just Emmanuel, not just God with us. The best part is that God desired to be with us. It's love. Many of you may know that Matthew and Luke tell us both of this story. Luke, as we just heard, speaks of Mary in a manger and shepherds and angels singing throughout the night. Matthew tells it from Joseph's lineage and prophecy and perspective and the importance of getting the name just right. But both stories tell us of angels. An angel is a holy messenger. You probably have some of them in your own life. Probably not with wings and halos as we imagine them in Sunday school, but probably some messengers with holy messages for you. And the angels said what they always say in Scripture: "Do not be afraid." It's what they always say. When the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple, or to Joseph in his dream, or to the shepherds in the middle of the field at night, or to Mary, they said the same thing: "Do not be afraid." And for the longest time, I assume they said this because they learned this in angel training school. To say this first, because there must be rather something scary or off-putting about seeing an angel that for like some folks is like seeing a spider or a snake, you just want to kill it. And so they didn't want that. And so, well, maybe seeing an angel might do the same thing for you. I don't think that is what it is. I think they say it because they know us and they know we are always already afraid. A colleague tells of a story when he was terrified. He says, "I don't remember all the details, but my father was on a trip and I was about 9 or 10 years old, and in the middle of the night, my mother was awakened by some sound in the house. It was nothing really. My sister had just gone to sleep and let some coat hangers on the end of her bed. In the middle of the night, she kicked them off with a clatter. It woke my mother up, not knowing what it was. So my mother grabbed the floor tube of the vacuum cleaner to defend us. She woke me. Somebody's in the house. I hadn't heard the noise. I was completely asleep. But when your mother comes, complete with curlers in her hair, armed with a vacuum accessory like a baseball bat, and wakes you in the middle of the night, you wake up rather quickly. So she took me to the front door, and she stood me there, and she said, 'If I scream, run next door to the Martins and tell them to call the police.' I was conflicted because I wasn't wearing appropriate apparel to visit the neighbors. But I stood by the front door as my 5'2" mother, armed with a vacuum cleaner accessory, moved through the house. I was terrified. My sister, in the meantime, having kicked the coat hangers off the bed, roused and went to the kitchen to get some water to drink. It was there she encountered my mother on her hunt, in her curlers and carrying the vacuum cleaner attachment. But it was dark, and my sister did not recognize her own mother immediately. And so my sister screamed. Me, I'm at the neighbors calling the police, and it's the coat hangers. You see, there was actually nothing to be afraid of. There was no intruder there. There was nothing there. But it's hard to explain that to my neighbor since I was knocking at their door at 3:45 in the morning. And you see, it can be that way sometimes. Sometimes we're afraid for no real reason at all. We're just anxious. You know what I mean. Just a little anxious. But here's the thing. I don't think the angels say this for only moments like that. That particular moment when your heart is pounding and your knees are shaking and you're terrified. The angels do know what they are talking about. They tell us don't be afraid because they know we seldom draw an untroubled breath in this life. You see, life is scary, and angels know we're always already afraid. You see, it's not just Korea or climate change. It's not just the fragility of healthcare or the omnipresence of violence. That which frightens us is so common. We may not even recognize that it is fear that we are feeling. I asked, "How's your dad?" She said, "He's doing, pretty well. They want to stay in the house, but it's hard on Mama, and I worry about her." I brought up moving closer to the kids, but Daddy said it would kill him to leave the house. Living out of town as I do, I don't get to check on them as often as I wished. But they're all right. You know, they're gonna be all right. She's afraid. "Any news?" I ask. "Well, the doctor says it's just a kind of wait and see game. Nothing definite, but we're just gonna wait and see. We're just gonna wait and see. Probably nothing." He said, probably nothing. He's anxious. I said, "When do you hear from the kids?" Well, not much to tell you the truth. Not much, you know. Jeremy, he's a junior in college now. And I know he's having a good time. I'm sure of that. You know, after a long stretch from not hearing anything from him, I got an idea and wrote him a snail mail letter. I said, Jeremy, here's a check for $50. Buy yourself something. Go out to dinner. Love, Mom. I mailed the letter. I just didn't put the check in the letter. It worked. 2 days later, I got a call. Hey, Mom, how are you doing? All right, I guess. Still not sure what he exactly wants to do, but he's all right, I guess. And what about that job market? Well, you know, he'll be fine. He'll be fine, won't he? She's anxious. It was almost 20 years ago now. I was driving my grandfather to the Veterans Affairs Hospital for a routine checkup. He was a character, my grandfather. He would make a funny face just to make sure you smile. He would tell you a tall story just to have your imagination wander with his. So his unusual quiet demeanor on the car ride had me worried. I made small talk, and then he spoke. It's going to be bad. I know it. I watched a man who fought two wars in this world, grew up in poverty, and worked every day of his life, cry like a baby. He was afraid. He knew a chapter was closing and it would never come back, and he wasn't sure he would ever come back either. See, the reason the angels always say, do not be afraid, is not because angels are scary, but because we are already afraid. We live in a terrorist-defined, climate change, nuclear-threatened, cancer-embattled, mass-shooting, recurring, hurricane-battled, opioid-addicted, poverty-crushed time. Are you afraid? We're a little anxious, if we're honest. And then the angel comes and tells Mary, I know what this world is like. I know what this world is like. Do not be afraid. Sounds naive, I know. But over the years, I've learned this about Scripture. Scripture is bold. Sometimes it's mysterious, but Scripture is never naive. We are afraid. And it matters because fear is more than just an uncomfortable circumstance we find ourselves in. You see, fear changes us. When we are afraid, we are not our best selves. The angels know how fear erodes ourselves, and we do things we wouldn't do otherwise. Ryan Heifetz says, when you're afraid, your defense mechanisms kick in, generated by fear and fueled by your adrenaline. Your bright, strategic, graceful, attentive self is no longer there, but it's temporarily eclipsed by your more primal, defensive self. And when we're afraid, our neighbors look like enemies, and anybody who is different seems deficient. When we're afraid, everyone is after us, and no one can be really trusted. When we're afraid, cynicism gets confused for wisdom, and criticism confused for care. When we're afraid, we're consumed by what we might lose, and things like joy and forgiveness seem like mere fantasy. But the angels know something we do not. They bring a word from another kingdom, another world from God. And the word is love, as weak as it appears, love as vulnerable as it always is. Love is the power that erodes fear. It's only when we choose that vulnerable love that we're alive and we are truly human. Mary understands this. You know, Mary was actually more remarkable than we give her credit sometimes. Of all the people that encountered angels in Scripture, every one of them, we get told, is terrified, but Mary. Mary seemed more courageous than fearful, and I wonder if it's because she knew she would be holding this baby. She held her newborn, a child who made her more vulnerable to the ways of the world than she would ever be on her own. You see, children do that to us. And a child that made her more alive than she had ever been on her own. You see, she loved. And it's just really hard to love and still be afraid. This is why the angels are so consistent. The first step is to inform us that we are loved so deeply that no matter the circumstances, you are loved beyond the universe. And it has claimed you, that love, by name, and it does not let you go. And this is only one reason that I can promise you the angels are trustworthy. It's because there was a baby born in Bethlehem. Because God simply could not stand to be that far away from you. And as long as the love of God breathes in this world, we do not need to be afraid. And so for the truth of tonight is we're still striving to trust the angels. I bet you are too. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll admit I just need them to tell me the story one more time. To remind us that this frightening world, that fear wants to destroy us, but the love born in Bethlehem can cast out that fear. I wish the angel would have just said, look, there's nothing to be afraid of. Just look behind the curtain. It's coat hangers. Don't worry. There's nothing to be afraid of. But you see, that's naive again. Instead, what they say is, you're loved, so do not be defined by your fear. Because that love gives you courage no matter what. That's the promise of this night. So in a week, we'll begin a new year. I have no idea what that new year will hold for any of us, but I know more than likely it will have trouble. It will bring disease and threats and violence and most likely poverty and hatred. And it'll be enough to make you believe the only responsible response to that is to be afraid. But don't do that. Remember tonight. Remember that Christmas is not just a holiday we celebrate once a year, but it's the choice, the holy choice of God to set love loose in the world throughout this next year so you can hear the voice of angels, the holy messengers in your life. They'll remind you this year that there's a love that gives you courage, come what may. But before you do that hard work of living into next year, tonight, I don't know what you bring to this service. If all of your shopping is done or all of your food has been on the table and meals consumed, I don't know. I don't know if you brought disappointment or pain or anxiety that you carried into this sanctuary tonight. But if you can, leave it here. Drop it off. Unpack your bag. You don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to be defined by it anymore because there's a baby born in Bethlehem that reveals God's love so profound that God could simply not stand to be away from you. Remember that. Trust the angel's words. Don't be afraid anymore. And that'll be good news for you and good news for us all. Amen.